a perfect storm threatens general aviation. We get an explanation from EAA's Tom Poberesny. I'm Paul Platt, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. I'm privileged to have as my guest the Experimental Aircraft Association's president, Tom Poberesny, here to talk about a recent headline that appeared on EAA.org, and that is Perfect Storm Brewing to Threaten General Aviation. And Tom, thanks very much for taking a few minutes out for our listeners to talk about something that's going to be very important as we go through 2009.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity, Paul.
Let's start out with three of the bullet points in this article that I think our listeners are familiar with, but maybe bear some shoring up here. One is the attack on amateur building privileges. Now, the thing that comes immediately to my mind when I hear that topic even come up is City of Jacksonville. Is that an isolated incident, or is this kind of thing spreading?
Well, I think when we talk about Jacksonville and the opportunity for people to build in their garages or in their homes or in different locations and so forth, every isolated incident has the opportunity to become global and national in nature. So we don't live in a world of isolation, so we have to be very careful, because it's amazing how things, once they take place or take hold, find their ways to spread around the country. So, but when we talk about the amateur building privileges, it isn't just local ordinances like that were being proposed in Jacksonville or out in Las Vegas and so forth. It comes down to the overall privilege in terms of the guidance and the rules that we live under. And so a lot of people, they say, well, what impact does that have on me? I'm never going to build an airplane, and that's just a group of people who are craftsmen that build airplanes. Over 30,000 amateur build airplanes are flying today, which is a significant part of the general aviation fleet. But more importantly, this is where a lot of the innovation takes place. It finds its way into many of the airplanes that we buy and our production airplanes. So maintaining the privilege to build and design your own airplane, both from a rule standpoint and from a local ordinance standpoint, is critical to the future health of general aviation. And so this is an ongoing battle, one of which we're prepared to address and fight. And I think overall we've done a good job, but we also have to be vigilant.
Well, when I think about that accident in North Las Vegas, in fact, the two that came within a fairly short period of time,
yes.
one involved a certificated aircraft and the other one involved an experimental. I recall that the aviation director of that county was pressuring his congressman to make some systemic changes in what is allowed for amateur builders in populated areas. Has that gotten any traction at all?
Not at this point in time, but we take nothing for granted, Paul. I mean, the thing is that we've addressed it proactively, both locally and nationally at the congressional level. But again, I take nothing for granted.
All right. Let's talk about user fees for a moment. I think that's kind of been backburnered for a lot of people. Anytime you get something that provokes such an intense debate for such a long period of time and requires such a focus of attention, I think whenever there's a truce called, which kind of happened for the last half of the year here, it tends to you know, people take a deep breath and move on to other things temporarily. We have a new administration taking office in a few days. Do you see any change in how this is going to go?
You know, not necessarily at this point in time, Paul. And you're right, it's been a long battle, and maybe we're in that truce stage. It's not gone away. It's something we have to be vigilant on. But what's happened is that there's certain things that have come to the forefront that have taken precedence over this particular issue. So what it's done is it's pushed the issue down the priority list somewhat, but it's not eliminated. It's still very, very real and one that we have to be cognizant of.
All right. Now, when it comes to fuel and alternatives, one of the bullet points in the EAA article, I recall when I was in Oregon, living in Oregon a couple of years ago, and the state decided to require ethanol in all auto fuel. And aviation interests got together and said, look, can you at least exempt premium grade auto fuel? Because a lot of aircraft are burning this now. And even though it was going to result in a lot of aircraft owners going back to using leaded fuel, for some reason, the political clouds, you know, dictated that this push go for ethanol. Is that a problem throughout our system? And what are the other issues involving fuel and alternatives that EAA is concerned about?
Well, I think I want to, Paul, take a step back and address it from the big picture view. And the fact is that, you know, 100 low lead, the amount that's produced in this country is infinitesimal in terms of the total amount of fuel that's produced from an automotive standpoint and so forth. So the big concern is the availability of 100 low lead going forward. And so what's going to happen is the fact is that my biggest concern, Paul, is availability. You know, there's two things. One is if fuel's available at a high price, we're all concerned about that. Number two, if fuel's not available at any price, that's even a bigger concern. And that's what we're concerned about going forward, because there's going to be EPA regulations coming along, availability regulations, and supply and demand regulations in terms of refineries refining fuel as opposed to an alternative aviation fuel. So it's a massive problem that we've been working on for probably the last decade, and we don't have a resolution, though we're making progress. But it's, again, a problem that we have the capability to address over time. But when you take the three things we talked about and put them in the context of what we're going to talk about in a few minutes, we have what we call the perfect storm brewing.
All right, and those two things would be security concerns and the economy. We'll talk about those in a moment. My guest is Tom Paul Berezny, president of EAA. We'll be back with more in a moment. I'm Paul Plack. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
You hear that sound? It's one of the all-time great inventions. Takes lids off cans just like that. But now, let's picture something even bigger. A tool that can take the lid off a whole airport. Actually, thousands of airports. It's a Garmin WAAS GPS. Lets you make glide path approaches using runways that were once closed tight during IFR conditions. Hey, if you're gonna fly in the soup, you gotta have an opener. Garmin WAAS GPS. Follow the leader.
Welcome back to the Aero News special feature. I'm Paul Plack, talking today with Tom Paul Berezny, president of the Experimental Aircraft Association, about some challenges facing general aviation. And Tom, these are challenges that face not only strictly home builders, but general aviation as a whole. And a couple of the underlying things that sort of intensify all these other problems we've talked about, one is security concerns. Now, the large aircraft security program jumps to mind when we think of security concerns. That only affects aircraft 12,500 pounds or over. Is this really EAA's fight?
Well, what it comes down to, Paul, is that I look at the bigger issue, and the fact is that to date, if you talk to most people in the aviation community, general aviation, corporate aviation, business aviation, airlines, and you talk about government, you think about Congress or FAA. And we deal with FAA as a bureaucratic part of government. You're dealing with people who are knowledgeable about aviation. A new term has come to the forefront as a result of 9/11. It's called TSA.
Mm-hmm.
And the impact that TSA is having on aviation, whether it's the airlines, and we've all been in situations where I feel like I'm getting ready to take a shower because I have to undress before I get through security.
Yep.
And so forth, and get redressed and undressed and redressed. Well, that's one impact in the aviation community from an airline standpoint, but now we're seeing it filter strongly into business aviation, the large aircraft aspect you talked about, and once it starts there, it continues to it'll trickle down. It doesn't stop at a particular level in terms of weight and size. And the impact that TSA is having on the aviation community at all is growing, and we're dealing with an agency whose focus is on security, not on aviation. So their view of the world from an economic standpoint, from a growth standpoint, is mitigated tremendously by the fact that they're in the security business, and it's security at all costs. And when you put that on top of what we talked about previously in terms of user fees, amateur built aircraft privileges, fuel and alternatives and so forth, now you start to see added weight compounding the issues, making it more difficult to address the things that we've been doing on an ongoing basis.
You know, the thing that's a little frightening to me about the TSA is that, with the possible exception of the Internal Revenue Service, I don't think there maybe has ever been a federal agency that has accelerated from zero to overwhelming presence in such a short period of time. And it's almost as if I've heard the term security theater used to describe a lot of what goes on, where the mandate is to make the public feel safe, not necessarily to do the thing that is required as a minimal measure. In other words, it almost is as if you have a problem, a mechanical problem, and instead of having engineers solve it, you're having marketing solve it.
Well, what happens, Paul, is that we all want to be safe. We all want to be secure. We want to see nobody hurt and so forth. But at what price? Number one. And number two, what's being proposed makes sense. And what happens when it's under the guise of motherhood and apple pie, then it's easy to get your processes and your programs and your ideas through. But it's starting to be a situation where the recommendations are exceeding our capability and are taking away our freedoms. And now I realize not all this is being emanated from TSA. Some of it's coming from Congress. But it has the potential to go out of control and affect our lives in a way that is beyond comprehension. And the impact it's having on aviation is significant, and it's continuing to grow, which is making it extremely difficult to address the issues we've talked about. And of course, it's all mitigated by the big factor, and that's the economy. I mean, everybody realizes right now the economy's in difficult straits, and it's impacting all aspects of our world, from the automotive industry to restaurant business to aviation industry. And when you add the impact of the economy and the downsizing and the layoffs and the lowering of aircraft sales and product sales and so forth, and then do that and try to do what we're doing in the context of all that, it's what we said in our headline. It's picking for the perfect storm. The weight of those issues on top of the other things is becoming tremendous. Now, is that mean that we're preaching doomsday? Absolutely not. We're going to work hard to overcome these things. The economy is something that is going to take time to sort out. But the TSA situation is one that I put at the top of my list, is that I don't think people realize the impact that it's having in our lives and will have in our lives and potentially have in aviation. And we're going to have to do something in working with Congress to ensure that it's controlled. Otherwise, what's going to happen is it's going to make it extremely difficult to enjoy the privileges that we do, and the impact on the economy is going to even be worse.
Well, Tom, in the spirit of bring me solutions, not problems, what would you recommend that general aviation pilots in general and home builders in particular resolve to do in 2009 to try to mitigate these issues?
Well, I think that, first of all, as various organizations such as EAA, NBAA, AOPA, and others are working these issues and ask for a call to arms in terms of response from constituents to contact elected officials, they need to take these issues seriously and respond. The voter's voice still remains is an important tool in our arsenal. And so the big thing is to be alert, to be knowledgeable, and to respond when asked to respond.
Well, I've heard a couple of people recommend, too, that one of the things that gets overlooked that maybe we need to try to make it a point to do this year, especially when considering, you know, what the economy is doing to us and everything else, is find every opportunity we can to get out and fly.
Absolutely. You know, we can't stop living our lives. I mean, there are factors that are going to cause us to make choices and so forth and things that we'd love to do that we can't do. But we've got to do the best we can to continue on, because otherwise you develop a self-fulfilling prophecy. If we think the world is bad or the economy is bad or we can make it happen. You know, one of the things I hear people say is the fact is that how bad is the economy really? Obviously, there's a lot of negative factors, but how much of it is media reinforced? And so the key is to be proactive and try and control our destiny rather than having our destiny run us over.
Well, Tom, as always, we appreciate any time we get to spend a few minutes talking with you. We appreciate the work that EAA is doing. Do you have any tidbits you could slip to us maybe about what's coming up at Oshkosh we don't know yet?
Well, I'll tell you what, Paul, we've been working extremely hard over the past 2 months in light of all the things I've talked about. And I think we have some exciting announcements coming up. If you want to check in with me in about 2 to 3 weeks, I'll be able to give you some firsthand information.
All right, we'll do that. Tom, thanks very much.
Sounds great, Paul, and thanks for the time and the opportunity to talk with you and your audience.
Tom Poberesny is president of the Experimental Aircraft Association. You can find the article to which we referred today and a lot more at www.eaa.org. And you've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.